Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge. It's a beautiful day.
Sky falls, you feel like it's a beautiful day. Dean Richards Food Time Show, Chicago Radio's only cooking and dining show, our award-winning All Things Edible program that we bring to you every Sunday. And, you know, with the restaurants closed down right now, what do you do for Mother's Day? And with social isolation going on right now, what do you do for Mother's Day? You know, normally it's a day when families get together and celebrate moms. But this year is going to be very, very, very different. How you celebrate your moms this year, I'm going to let you all figure that out in your own situations. But as far as the restaurant goes, let's bring in Phil Vitale, restaurant critic at the Chicago Tribune. Phil, how are you surviving all of this? A restaurant critic with no restaurants.
Right. Yeah, it's been a little strange. I haven't complained about service in a while. And I've done some curbside criticism where I pull up and get some food, then bring it home and write about that a little bit.
Yeah, it's been very interesting, hasn't it? Seeing how the restaurants have adapted to this with delivery and carryout, but also how they have evolved and kind of streamlined their operations to do this in the most efficient way possible.
Yeah, no, they've been very. Some of them have been very creative in this effort, and done some really high quality food. Besides, it's not all pizza and pad thai.
Yeah, have you been discovering that some restaurants are doing some really fine dining in plastic containers?
Yeah, I know that some places are making a real effort. Maple Tree Inn down in Homewood, they're doing their Cajun Creole classics, and they bundle it all up for you. Alinea, which is largely unaffordable for many of us, the Alinea Group has been doing a series of meals, and what they do is they say 1 week they have coq au vin, and that's all you can have. That's what it is, and you pay it, you make your arrangements in advance, and you pull up, and there's a runner out there that sees your driver license plate number, and you pop the trunk, and the food goes in there, and it comes in there, and it's all carefully packaged, and you have your reheating or whatever prep instructions are required, and you go home and fix yourself dinner with some great quality ingredients.
Yeah, is it sort of the same pricing structure there? I mean, that's an extremely, maybe the most expensive restaurant in Chicago.
Right. Instead, they're doing dinners that range from anywhere from $24 a person to a maximum of $60 a person, and that would be for something like duck breast or something that's a little more expensive. But yeah, I think it's one of the reasons they've been crazy successful at it, is that you're getting their kind of, you know, their idea of good food, but it's at the merest fraction of what a sit-down dinner would cost there. And of course, when restaurants are able to open, Alinea is going to have to completely rethink its experience anyway. So right now, they're making good food, and they're finding an audience for it.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I mean, it's devastating to the restaurant industry right now. But you know, here we have one of the biggest dining out days of the year, Mother's Day, and I have to think that for a lot of restaurants, Mother's Day supplies them a pretty substantial percentage of their yearly revenue. That they're not going to get this year. Yeah.
No. They will survive, and like everybody here right now, you're just hunkering down and trying to survive as best you can, and hope that you keep yourself in a position to make some good money when we get on the other side of this.
Right. So what are your recommendations then for treating mom to something special, presuming
you know, that you can even see your mom. I mean, you know, probably for a lot of people, it's going to be pick up some food, drop it off at the front door, and run.
Yeah, there'll definitely be a lot of that, I suspect, and it's tough for. I was talking to a colleague who sends supply to a friend mother who's out in Oregon. She can't get out, and she's not online at all. She doesn't deal with computers, so she can't order anything.
Right.
So his order gets placed by a family member in Chicago for delivery in Oregon, and somehow that works out. Not so complicated in Chicago, where they have all sorts of pickup and of course delivery options. The restaurant ABBA on Green Street, they're doing a flat $10 delivery charge for Mother's Day. The only catch is you have to order by 5 o'clock on Thursday to figure out what you're going to have, but you can't beat that kind of delivery charge. And they're doing individual meals, you know, picking different entree, and the base price is about $26. Then if you want to do add-on, some restaurants are doing really good jobs of putting together cocktail packages. They're not allowed to make a cocktail and sell it to you, but they can sell you the bottles and tell you how to put the recipe together yourself.
Yeah, how to make it yourself, yeah.
Right, so there'll be a lot of mimosas sold that way. A bottle of Prosecco here, a little orange juice there, you're off to the races. They're doing that. Boca is doing brunch and dinner. The brunch package is about $60 for two people, and the dinner package is $85 for two people. And then on the other side, if you happen to be able to get together with some family members, Cafe Spiaggia is doing family-style kind of dinners portioned for four. So a lasagna for four, a big portion of a lasagna for four is $65, and the spaghetti meatball is only $45. So you can pick that up. You order it online and get there. And then they have things if you want to make a nice Mother's Day party, a gift. They have a special gift basket of selected oils and ingredients that they've put together themselves, and that's $150 if you wanted to do something like that.
Sort of a meal/gift combo platter, it sounds like.
Right.
Yeah.
And Duck Inn in Bridgeport, they're doing something I thought was really cute. They're basically taking the elaborate brunch and recreating it for to-go. So they have a charcuterie and cheese board. That's all separate set up. They've got some smoked salmon and bagels. They've got a seafood tower. I assume it's not a real tower, really, but the things that would be on the tower are going to be in the container there. There's an egg bake that you'll warm up. There's some beef tenderloin, some grilled asparagus. They've got cinnamon rolls. It'll feed four, and it's $185. But the idea is you can almost put together your own buffet if you have a table like that.
Yeah.
And put your charcuterie and cheese there and your smoked salmon there and your seafood over there.
Yeah, I guess, you know, for, you know, if it's mom, dad, and kids in the house, great. You order in, you know, the food is delivered or you pick it up,
right.
One or the other. But if you have, you know, your grandparents, for example, that have to stay at a social distance, I guess you order something for them and have it delivered to their house?
Yeah. Yeah, you can do that, or as you said earlier, you can do it yourself, ring the doorbell, and run.
Yeah.
I had a couple of friends over to my house because it was nice out, and I measured my outdoor table, and it's 6.5 feet long.
Oh, look at you.
So I put some chips and guac at one end and some chips and guac at the other end, and my wife and I were north, and Jeff and Kelly were south, and we had a little gathering, sort of, and we maintained that 6-foot-plus distancing the entire time.
Yeah, yeah, that's perfectly acceptable. You know, last week I had a situation where I was at home, the doorbell rings, I wasn't expecting anyone. I go to the door, nobody's there, but some bags are left in front of my door, and I wasn't expecting anything. I didn't order anything. I look at the bags, and I could see that they're warm. They were kind of steaming a little bit. I brought them inside. Somebody had ordered food, and they were delivered, without contact with anybody, but they were delivered to the wrong house.
Oh!
They whoever ordered, you know, this food, it came to my door, and I looked around. Did I see the delivery guy anywhere? Did he wait to see if you know, did I come to the front door? Did I get it? No, he was gone. There was a name of the restaurant that was on it. I called them, and they said they had no way of tracing it because it was done through one of these DoorDash.
Third party.
So sure. There's like, well, enjoy the food. I guess we'll eventually hear from whoever ordered the food. That's like one of the downsides of,
A big downside. And there's an easy fix for that. The only actual delivery I've done, because I've gone in my car and just have them throw it in the trunk, and that works too. The only delivery I've been getting is from Lou Malnati's Pizzeria, because I've got a new Lou Malnati's close enough to me. And when they dropped off the pizza, I did, paid in advance, so it would be no contact. And he ran it out to the front door, and he ran back in the car and texted me that my order was there. And he waited in the driveway, and it was a shame because I was in the shower, waited in the driveway until I said, I got it, thank you. And then I got my pizza.
That seems like the correct way to do it, that you wait until somebody comes to the door to accept the food. That seems to make a lot of sense.
You've got the phone number because that's how the order was placed. So text the recipient and said, I'm here, the food's out front. Please confirm.
Yeah,
it takes no time at all.
Exactly. Are most of the restaurants doing carryout and delivery now, or have is there a significant number of them that just decided to wait this out?
There are a significant number that decided to wait it out. The two sides of the coin are you have to sit down with your people and say, okay, no penalties, no nothing. Who's comfortable working right now, and can we do this, and can we do it in such a way that we make enough money that it's even worth the effort? Maybe we should just shut down and be safe and wait to come out. And that's, some of them are doing that. The government's boost in unemployment benefits has been such that a lot of restaurant workers are making as much or maybe even a little more now with benefits than they were working. It's going to be one of the interesting things going forward when people have to come back. It's going to be very tricky to get certain people to come back to work in the restaurant for minimum wage.
Yeah, I would think that would be the case. I was running some errands yesterday and just driving down a major street. And, as I was stopping at stoplights and just looking at stores, the vast majority of the stores are all closed. But, small mom-and-pop restaurants, diners, small places like that, if they were open at all, it was so sad to see nobody in these restaurants that normally would have been busy, that normally would have had people sitting at a counter having, some eggs and bacon and hash browns, these kind of joints. And I just thought, how many of these small mom and pop places are never going to come back because they're going to be completely devastated by this?
I think you've identified the most at-risk element of the restaurant business. They're the ones that are going to be really hurt. They're getting a double whammy. One, they've been getting almost no income since the beginning of March. I mean, we point to the day that Governor Pritzker put in the shutdown, but the truth is that the previous 2 to 4 weeks were devastatingly bad for restaurants. People were skipping away from restaurants on their own before the order came down. People weren't going out, and now you've got this where they've got no income since March, and when they come back, there's, I don't know if they'll postpone it, but right now there's a bump in the minimum wage supposed to take effect in July, so that will add to the pain. And then you have to wait out and see how many people, when are people going to be comfortable going to a restaurant? And how, when restaurants get to open, will they be allowed to open completely? Probably not. 50%? Yeah, that sounds about right. They're going to add distancing, no two tables, no table closer than 6 foot from another table, which effectively means most restaurants will have to cut themselves in half anyway. And can they make enough money that way?
Are some of these smaller restaurants able to get any subsidization from the government? We've heard stories about some of the really big food chains and restaurant companies mm-hmm. that got money and were sort of, you know, had returned it. But I think about these mom and pop places, and are they able to avail themselves of similar kind of help?
I think yes, they can. If they're doing their, I mean, I know of a hot dog and sandwich store nearby here that they got $10,000 from that was from the state program, the PPP, the payroll protection program. That's the one that had a lot of money. That's the one that had more than $340 billion to distribute, and those are the ones that a couple of high profile restaurants got some money, and a couple of incredibly high profile colleges got some money, and there was the outcry, and now they're giving it back or refusing to accept the money, which is good. But yeah, there is some money, and it'll be a good temporary, you know, help for them. They'll be able to maybe keep people on salary a little bit longer. One of the things about the PPP is that it's very specific on what the restaurant can spend money on. For instance, you know, if you have a restaurant and March comes along and you've got no money, well, your February bill you pay in March, and now you've got no money, so you didn't pay that February bill. And maybe you ordered some food for March, and now you're not doing anything. So when you reopen, you've got probably 2 months of billables, of payables that you have to satisfy before any supplier is going to give you another hamburger, right? You have to pay that bill.
Right.
You can't use PPE money for that purpose. You can use it for salary. You can use it for some other things. But you can't use that to pay, to retroactively go after, you know, take care of debts you incurred in February.
Yeah. What do you think will change in dining out that will never go back to being the same? I mean, you know, you were talking about a seafood tower, and, you know, Sunday brunches are, you know, so popular, where you just walk back and forth on the buffet tables and mm-hmm. Fill your plates up. I can't see people going back to eating like that.
No, I don't think. Here's a phrase you'll never hear again as long as you live. Hey, try a bite of my sandwich.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
You want to try this?
That.
Right. Yeah.
I say that twice a week, you know. But now it's people are you trying to kill me? Get away from me with that thing.
Yeah.
So restaurants. I don't know how the bar scene is going to survive. The whole idea of, you know, proximity and getting together. When are people going to be comfortable going to a sports bar and watching a game? Well, when, of course, we have a game to watch.
Right.
There's that too. When are we comfortable with that? But I think you hit the nail on the head with the brunch idea. I mean, that's going to be a slow moving brunch line when you have to keep 6 feet behind the guy who's pausing over the Jell-O salad, trying to decide if he wants red or green, and then moving along like that.
Well, I think of, you know, not only the proximity and the slowness of it, but I'm not sure I want to dig into that Jell-O salad after 25 other people just did before
there,
me.
There's that as well.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of hygienic habits that they may or may not have had. You know, digging into it or double dipping into it, you know, who knows what. And these, you know, there's tons of all-you-can-eat places that are basically, you know, buffet lines where you serve yourself. I can't see places like that surviving.
No, I think it'll be a long time before anybody would be comfortable doing that again. And by long time, I mean a year and a half. I mean, until there's an actual vaccine that people feel confident in, and you can go and you'll get that shot, and then you can go out. That will be the necessary first step before we get back to normal. And having just earlier this year or late last year done my shingles shots, I remember that some vaccines are two shots.
Yeah, two steps.
So
you
you get your first one, then you come back in 4 weeks or whatever it happens to be, and then you get the booster, and then you're covered. And there's no reason to. There's every possibility that a vaccine, when created, when proven effective, might be two shots.
Yeah,
it might be a series.
I wonder about salad bars also. You know, when you're at the grocery store, every grocery store had. Mm-hmm. a salad bar where you could make your own salad and go. Those are gone.
Yeah, that'll be something to tell your grandchildren.
Yeah.
The lettuce was right over there.
The lettuce, you could pick yourself. Your own lettuce, yeah. I mean,
yeah,
unless
and everything.
Some places, like with olive bars and, you know, things like that now, they're prepackaging things. I mean, maybe that'll be the new normal with these buffets where food is prepackaged. And you can, you know, instead of taking a double helping of meatloaf, there'll be two packages of meatloaf that are covered, so everything, you know, at least seems protected, I guess, right?
Absolutely. We saw a little bit of, got a little glimpse of that, of the future, this weekend when the Evanston Farmers Market opened. It opened and they had 6 feet distancing, masks required, and they had some masks for $2 if you forgot your mask, and you walked through. It was single file, one way only, so you got to go all the way around. Someone at the beginning of the tent clicking and keeping a customer count, and then holding people up if they, you know, until they had the, you know, if they had too many people under the tent. And then you go through in single file, so you hit this person, this booth. If you say, you know, I like the asparagus back at the first booth better, well, no, you can't do that. Now you have to go all the way through, come out, and get back in line and go back into the tent.
Mm.
So it was a one-way thing and no touching the produce.
Yeah.
So for some people, that if that's important, I mean, I have a hard time buying avocados without touching them because
when they
go to the store, there's either some that are completely soft and useless and some that are so rock hard that they'll be good to eat in a week. And sometimes that's what I want, but I need to know. And maybe that's going to stop.
Yeah, very. It's really interesting. Bottom line for Mother's Day, for next Sunday, I guess contact your favorite restaurant and find out what's available. I mean, we can make all the recommendations in the world, but find out if you like a certain place or there's, you know, a place where you always go for Mother's Day, it's tradition, call them and find out what the options are.
Yeah, and even if it's a place that you wouldn't necessarily think of in terms of breakfasty items or something like that, give a call because restaurants are getting very creative and places you might not have thought of for a certain kind of food. They're doing stuff.
Yeah,
and whatever, you know, they need our support so badly right now that anything you can do to help ensure that some of these restaurants are going to be with us when we get past this.
Yeah, absolutely. And tip well. Tip the people that are out there working.
Yeah. What are you saving it for? Let's go.
Tip
make people happy.
Tip well and say thank you to the people who are out there working during all this
and taking risks.
If there was some way I could tip you right now, Phil, I would. I appreciate you coming on the show. The envelope will be in the mail.
All right. I was trying to think of what I needed to send you by way of thanking you for putting me on your show.
It's always
fun.
Always great to have you on. Phil Vitale, restaurant critic, Chicago Tribune. Have a great Sunday, Phil. Thanks for joining us.
Stay safe.